Welcome to another episode of the Blue Yorker, a New York Rangers podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. I'm your host, joined by my good friend and co-host Cody Frankel. And obviously, we wish this was a more positive, upbeat episode. But as everyone is aware, the season has come to an end, unfortunately. But I think, you know, as far as Cody and I stand, we're all in good spirits. Cody, I don't want to say anything for you. So, you know, what are your thoughts as we're a day removed from the Rangers season being over?
Just a big sigh. Yeah, no, listen, we've said it many times. This team overperformed this year and surpassed every expectation we could have asked for. Of course, the situation sucks. You know, you have the sight of the cup fresh in your eyes, or making it there at least. And, you know, it's tough because, of course, you don't know how long it will take for you to get back there. But the positive notes are this team has an incredibly bright future. I do truly believe that this is going to be the Rangers core that brings the cup back to New York. I truly do believe that, you know, whether it's next year or whether it's in 4 years, but I do believe this is going to be the core that gets it done. You know, it's great that we have, I think it's like seven guys, like our core seven or whatever, all locked up for at least the next five seasons. So that's great. And yeah, I mean, listen, it was tough. I'm laughing because me and Johnny unintentionally are both wearing our kid line shirts, and who knows if we're ever going to see them again.
Yeah. The kid line could be dead with all the Capo Caco stuff that happened in game six, which we'll get into a little bit later in the episode, but I want to say something quick as well, as far as just the whole end of the season vibe goes. I'm not a huge moral victory guy. I don't, you know, try to take the moral victories and everything. Like, that's what, you know, the Toronto Maple Leafs have done the last couple of years. And obviously you have to win, right? Like, that's what you want as a fan. You want your team to win. And sure, the Rangers were two wins away from getting to the Stanley Cup final when they weren't supposed to be there. I do think they didn't stand a chance against Colorado, which is like the light at the end of the tunnel. I think Colorado is just a whole different animal this year. I really do think it's their year. So where I am really upset the season's over, I didn't love our chances against the Avs. Not that I didn't believe in this team, but, you know, putting a realistic hat on here, come on.
It just brings me back to Rangers Kings, man. Like, we were supposed to dominate the Kings. The Kings weren't they like the sixth seed? And then they ended up busting us up. So I don't know. I mean, listen, the Avs are a fantastic team. No question about it. You know, I hedged my bet at the very beginning of the season, and I put money on the Avs to win the cup. And then I also put money on the Rangers to win the cup. And you know, it would have been best of both worlds if it was Rangers Avs, because then I was winning money no matter what. But you know, I would have gladly lost my money that I put on the Avs if the Rangers had won, obviously. But unfortunately, that's not the situation. So now I'm rooting for the Avs because then I'll win some money. But yeah, I mean, listen, it would have been tough. It would have been tough for sure. There's no question about it. This Avs team is incredibly talented, but I don't know. I feel like, you know, if the Rangers did come back yesterday, one could have said they were a team of destiny. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like things worked out. Kadri wouldn't be playing. Like, not that he's like, you know, he's a great player.
No, he's a big player for the Avalanche.
For sure. But I mean, they have Landeskog, they have Rantanen, they have McKinnon, they have Makar. Like, you know, the list goes on and on. But that being said, unfortunately, it didn't go our way. But this team will be back. And that I am very confident in, and I do believe that this is going to be the team that brings the cup to New York City.
Mm-hmm. And as a hockey fan, though, like, just what I was trying to get at just quickly was that I think this makes for a better series, like, as a hockey fan, Tampa versus Colorado.
Of course. I mean, it's like two Titans, and, you know, listen, people were counting the Rangers out since, except maybe Pittsburgh. I mean, you know, a lot of people thought we were going to win that, whatever, but even some analysts said Pittsburgh was going to win, whatever. But like, we've been counting out the entire time, you know, like, everybody was like, oh, Tampa in five, whatever. Yeah. 1-6. Yeah. Whatever. But you know, we had them on the ropes at one point. We did. And we just ran out of gas.
Well, let me ask you this, because this has been a huge debate in the NHL office that I was at the last 2 weeks. We were talking about, would you rather your team make it all the way and lose and feel that heartbreak, or not make the playoffs at all?
Make it to the cup and lose, or not make the playoffs at all? I'm going to say make it to the cup and lose, even though that's the worst feeling ever. I remember how it was in 14. I remember as a Yankee fan, how it was in, you know, 08 and whatever. But I'm going to go with that. And the reasoning is, chances are, if you're not making the playoffs at all, you're not making it next year either, most likely. You know, the Rangers did this year, whatever, but that's because their rebuild was done. most teams that didn't make the playoffs this year, except for maybe the Islanders, probably aren't making it next year. So that being said, I know if my team is making the cup, as long as it's not like the last leg of a rebuild, like for example, Boston might be screwed because Boston, yeah. I would not be surprised if they blow it all up. Mm-hmm. Like Bergeron
they
might
started,
be gone.
It seems like.
Right. Right. So that being said, I think I would go with the latter for sure.
I'm the same way, but I know like a lot of, you know, Leafs fans or other organizations that have just felt so much pain were like, I'd rather not even like have hope, you know, I'd rather just be hopeless. But for me, like I honestly think the last 6 weeks have been like the most fun 6 weeks that I've had in a long time.
Oh, no question about
like,
it.
And that's what I think to me is worth it. Right. Like I actually thought I'd be way more upset today than I was because anyone who watched the last three games of the series was like, okay, they're kind of cooked, you know.
Yeah,
like,
I told you this, man, and I hate to be right in this instant. I hate it, but I said if they lost Game 5, like you're it's gonna be all the odds in the world are stacked against you to come back. Leo agrees with me clearly, yeah. But all the odds in the world are stacked against you to come back when you lose three straight, and then now you got to go win on the road. Like that's, you know, all the momentum in the world is kind of like against you, and it's. Is a really tough thing to come back from, especially when a team like the Rangers is gassed. I mean, they played so many games. So it's something like that, but yeah, it is what it is.
Well, on that note, I do want to throw in a quick clip from John Cooper's press conference after the game, because Cooper had such high praise for the Rangers. So I'm going to play that right now really quick.
That Ranger team, Gerard Gallant's going to be sitting here in not too long a future. But it's hard. And when you go seven, you go seven, you go six. That was their 20th playoff game in 40 days. Like our guy, it's hard to play 20 regular season games in 40 days, let alone playoff games. And for them to get as far as they did and do it, it's I'm amazed by what they did, let alone what we did. And so the playoffs at times can be a war of attrition. And I think in the end, the layoff helped us, didn't early. But no layoff hurt them and the long series. And listen, it's, these games are 2-1, 3-2. They're all extremely tight games. But they gave us everything. And again, like I said, they just had to play a lot of games. And it benefited us in the end.
Yeah, that was a really great clip. Cooper's a great coach, clearly noble, and, you know, respected this Rangers team. And I think that's a great thing.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I know there's a lot of people questioning Gerard Gallant's coaching decisions, and maybe people say he was outcoached throughout the playoffs, which, you know, he definitely could have been at certain times. I know, obviously, his X's and O's aren't the most impressive as far as
you can't NHL. Say he wasn't.
I'm not disagreeing. I don't think he made many adjustments throughout the playoffs, but the adjustments he made, I thought he just overthought it.
Yeah, what I'm going to say is Gallant is a great coach. He really is. I do think he's the right coach for this job. He is a player's coach, which obviously the players love and so on. But in situations like that with the playoffs, you can't say he wasn't outcoached. I mean, he made some questionable decisions. And I think the reason that the Rangers came back was because of the players, not the coach. You know, I think like when we came back 3-1, when we came back against the Canes, like that was the players' will, not Gallant's will. But that being said, he is a very good coach, and I like him. I really do like him. I obviously didn't agree with Kako getting benched over there, you know, but.
Well, I want to touch on the Kako thing, because if we're going to dive into it, we can. But also, to Gallant's defense, the coaches he went up against are three pretty fucking elite coaches.
No question.
Mike Sullivan, Brendan Moore, and John Cooper.
Yeah, I mean, listen, two of them combined have five cups, so it's like, or four cups, so. You know, it's tough. And then Brendan Moore is a fantastic coach. I've said it to you many times. I think he's top three in the NHL. So him besting two of them in the end is definitely a little ego boost for sure for him. And listen, he said he was proud of this team. And I think all Ranger fans and myself and yourself included can agree. Like, we're incredibly proud of this team. It just was unfortunate how it played out. And you can't expect to go for three game sevens and, you know, make it to the cup and then try and win the cup. It's just too tough.
Yeah. And to that note, I think just going back to the Kako thing, there can't actually be people out there who think that if Capo Caco was in the lineup last night, there's a different outcome.
No. There's no.
I don't agree with scratching him, but I don't think he plays a major effect in that game where we win that game.
No. Yeah. If that's being said, I completely disagree with. He had 5 points in 20 games or 19 games. Like, he wasn't doing much of anything in that regards. He was definitely
playing great.
Playing a heavy game. He had a really bad Tampa series, but he had his first two series. He played great for sure. But that being said, I don't think him being in that lineup would have made any difference, because most likely if he was in the lineup, he was getting put on the fourth line for sure. So it is what it is. But did you have anything more to say about him? Otherwise, I think we can get into some player season grades and playoff grades.
Well, I just think this just gives us a story to talk about all summer because of Emily Kaplan's interview with Gerard Gallant, when he just goes, nope, not going to talk about it.
I know. What do you think that was about?
It's actually funny because I was, I got to see those interviews like 5 minutes ahead of when they were actually live on TV.
Oh, cool.
Kind of hear like Emily like laughing about it after he said it and stuff. It was kind of funny. But rumor has it that Chris Drury is not Capo Caco's biggest fan.
Really?
Which I didn't know, and I won't share the source on that, but that was the word around town, is that Drury is not the biggest fan of Capo Caco. So I think maybe Gallant was steered in a direction to scratch him.
And you said Keenan Thompson's the one who told you that?
Yeah, exactly right. But no, but that's the one thing where I'm like, the only thing that I was kind of rattled about was the fact that Ryan Strom played and he was basically playing on one leg.
That decision made no sense to me. And then he got taken out in the second. It just made no sense to me. It was just a waste. And he was as ineffective as could be in the game as well. He looked sluggish. He was getting blown by him. I mean,
but dude, he was on one leg.
I felt so bad
for the guy. He was set up to fail.
Yeah.
And it's funny. I kept referencing the scene in Miracle where like McClanahan's like, you want me to play on one leg? I'll play on one leg. And then Herb just like walks out and goes, you think that'll fire him up or whatever? Like, you know, that scene when McClanahan gets hurt and they're only down to like, you know what I'm talking about? You seen Miracle before?
We're family, Herb.
Yeah.
Of course, have I seen Miracle before? It's like my favorite movie ever, bro. Well, I told you I got react. COVID. I got COVID from the Miracle Lady.
Oh, yeah, it's true. I forgot about that. But yeah, you want to dive into the grades now?
Yeah, let's do it. So let's grade each player in the starting lineup as well as Gallant. I think we should do like a regular season playoffs combo, you know?
You
like,
don't
want
to separate them? I guess it's going to play an effect for sure.
It has to. I mean, it has to. It really has to. All right. So let's start with Kreider, Zibby, and Vetrano, line A, line one. Kreider, I'm going with an A-. Mm-hmm. I think in regular season, I would have given him an A for sure, or an A+. And then, you know, I think playoffs a little less, maybe like a B+ or something. So I'm going to go with that for Kreider. Zibby, I'm going with an A across the board. I think he had a really good playoffs. Obviously, the last, you know, 3-4 games, Sorelli shut him down. But I did think he had a really good playoffs. And Vetrano, I think he did everything we asked from him and more. So I'm going to go with an A- for him as well.
These are very kind. I would love to hear the other Rangers podcast, what they grade these guys. I feel like everyone's just like, oh, fucking
no. This is actually, believe it or not, this is like my only line of like niceness.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more, honestly. I think Kreider, and I'm so team, like Kreider played great in the playoffs. Like, I don't see why anyone can hate on him. Dude, he had 10 fucking goals in 20 games.
Yeah. No. In the playoffs overall, he did. I just thought when we needed him the most against Tampa, he was shut down, but at the same time, like, we needed him the entire playoffs.
Yeah,
like,
everyone was shut down against Tampa. Kreider showed up in the biggest games, in game sevens. He was amazing, I thought, in those games. Like, everyone
hence
got shut down against
Tampa.
That's
why I gave him an
A-. Yeah, hence so I'm going to agree with you. I'll agree with you on the A- with Kreider, and then I think Mika just put this team on his back, so I'm going to go with the
for
A
sure.
As well.
I mean, you know, he'll get the shit for sure for being shut down those last four games. I think he had 1 point in four games, but, like, I mean, look at that. So he had 1 point in four games. Dude, he had 23 points in the first 16 games. Like, that's crazy.
No,
so
he was awesome. Yeah. And then I actually agree with you completely on this first line. And I'm going A+ for Frankie Vetrano. I mean,
I went A-, but you're too kind. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I just think I've been saying it. I think all playoffs long, he was the biggest surprise in the best possible way.
For sure. So funny enough, in playoffs, I'd actually give him an A. In season, I'd give him a B+. So that's why I'm settling on the A-.
Interesting. Why in season B+?
I think he cooled off there towards the end of the regular season. Like those, remember when we got him, like the first 10 games, he went off and had all these goals, and then he kind of just cooled off a little bit. But in playoffs, he came right back and was, you know, played his ass off, quite frankly. So I'm going to go with the A- there. Johnny, A+, you heard it first. All right, now Panarin, Strom, Kopp. This one's going to be an interesting one. I'm going to let you go first.
Panarin, Strom, Kopp. I mean, Panarin. Okay, so I'll start with Panarin. And this one's tough.
I know, so tough. It's probably the toughest one.
Definitely the toughest one. And I'm going to say B+.
Okay.
Because do you are you on the same page?
I went B.
You went B. Okay, so I'm saying B plus because he went so above and beyond in the regular season, playing with Dryden Hunt and Ryan Strom for most of the year.
Regular season, I gave him
like 96 points, like on that line. Like, that's insane, man. Like, he was fucking incredible. And even the playoffs, like, I know a lot of people said he was invisible, whatever you want to call it. The guy had 16 points, 20 games. He wasn't invisible. He had points. He showed up. He wasn't his best. He wasn't so dominant, but he wasn't fucking nothing, you know?
I think people are
just a little too harsh.
He had games where he played great. Like, I thought game 4 and 5, he was arguably our top two best player alongside Igor.
He was 1 and 2. He was amazing also
at the Tampa. Yeah. Season. So, game 1 and 2, he was fine as well. But then, for example, games 3 and 6, he was completely invisible. Are you laughing because I just burped?
You held in a hiccup or a burp or something.
Yeah, it was a hiccup. Yeah. So game 3 and 6, I thought he was, you know, invisible. And then the same thing. I mean, it was all Pittsburgh Penguins series. It was same thing, right? Game 7 takes us to the promised land, but a couple other games, he was invisible, whatever. So for me, regular season, no brainer, A. And then in the playoffs, I would give him like a C+.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
So you're going straight B on that one.
Yep. B.
Okay. And now here's the tough one, right? Here's Ryan Strom, man. I don't know. I
went F for Strom and no, I'm kidding. I didn't know that. But I gave him a C+.
Yeah. I think I'd be in the C+/C- range. I really thought he'd step it up. I really thought if the Rangers were going to go
fans
on
fans love him though. You were right. He's all fans talk about. So you were right.
Fans love hating him so much.
Exactly.
Yeah. They love hating him. I mean, I think it's clear that he's not a priority now.
For sure. Played himself out of that. Easily.
I think it's C-. You know, simply, but I think a lot of it also just my expectations that I had. Like, your second line center has to be really, really good if you want to win the Stanley Cup. And look at Cirelli, man. Like, he's been.
But he wasn't an offensive monster, but the difference was he was a defensive wizard. Yeah. And that was the difference, right? Regular season, Cirelli was a great player, like 45 points, 20 goals, something like that. Very, very similar to Strom, right? Mm-hmm. Strom had like 56, whatever. Very similar players. The difference was when it came down to it, in the playoffs, Strom was just, quite frankly, very tough to watch. And Cirelli, you saw what he did to Mika. He was a defensive wizard, absolute shutdown guy, won faceoffs, did what he needed to do, and we're here. So I think being a little tough on Strom, and listen, he's going to get a ton of flack, and he's probably been getting a ton of flack, I think it's kind of warranted. If I'm being honest, I think it's kind of warranted. So I'm going with a C+ for him. How about Copper? Because he's another one that.
Well, one more thing about Strom that I think is just like not that evident is like his presence, like, definitely has something to do with like the feng shui of the team. You know, where the games that he was out, I don't know if they were missing.
I don't know. Wasn't he out game 4 and we got smashed? Dude, or he was in game 4.
Even the power play though, you could sense when Strom wasn't on the power play unit. Like, they had Hedel out there in his bumper position, and Kopp was there a couple times. Like, just something about it didn't mesh well when Strom wasn't there.
Funny enough, you say that. I'm laughing because I was just talking about it with my buddy Adam today. I kind of want Strom, if he was re-signed, I'd want him off the power play, and I would love to see Lafreniere get a shot on power play 1. I think he deserves that shot. And
well, where would you put him? You'd put him in Strom's position. He's not really a bumper.
I would put him in the bumper and give him a shot, because listen, worst case scenario, he fails and you take him right off, but give him a shot. I think he's done more than enough to prove himself. You know what I mean? And give him that shot on power play 1. I don't know. I would like to see that next season.
Yeah, but I think he also balances out that second unit so much, right? You don't want to have one stacked unit and then have like no skill on the second unit. I think Lafreniere.
We're going to have skill.
But bro, similar to what Panarin does on the first unit where he comes down his forehand side, I think Lafreniere should be doing the same thing, similar to Austin Matthews. I know his shot isn't as lethal as Matthews is, but he has like a similar playmaking ability to Matthews in a sense where obviously his shot's not his biggest threat, but he sees the ice so well and he can shoot the puck, where I would love to see Lafreniere in that Matthews position on the second unit.
Well, I mean, he is the prettiest skater in the league. So he deserves it.
He is.
I don't know.
Now we got to do Kopp. Let's save Lafreniere for the next line.
Okay.
Copper. Andrew Kopp.
Tough one too.
Very tough one, because if you talked to me 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago, it's
no, not even Penguin series. He played unbelievable in the Penguin series.
Yeah, it's 4 weeks ago, dipshit.
That was 4 weeks.
Yeah, this is 6 weeks of playoffs.
Oh man, it's been what a ride.
Yeah. So I would have said Kopp was an A+ after the Penguin series, but
yeah,
I'm going with the B-, B-plus range.
Man, no. B-plus is crazy. Yeah, B-. No way is he getting a B-plus. Yeah,
I mean, he really stepped it up, though, like when he came here in the regular season. Because you got to remember, too, like obviously the narrative at the end of the year in this Tampa series was the 5-5 struggle. But the team before the deadline was a huge struggle at 5-5, and Kopp really came in and helped that. So his regular season was incredible. His playoffs had a great start. But then, he definitely
1 point in his last 8 games. That was very tough. I'm going B- for him for sure. Now, the kid line.
The kid line, which will probably be no more. You start this one.
Lafreniere. So I'm going to give him a B+, if I'm being honest. Is his offensive ability there yet? No. But again, I would love to see this kid on power play one. I think if you put him on power play one an entire season, he's a 50-point player. He had 31 points this year, 19 goals, 12 assists, and he played like 25 games with like Dryden, like a combination of like Dryden, Hunt, and Johnny Brzezinski, you know, and then Hedl as well. And Hedl stunk during the regular season for a good portion of the season. Like he was hurt and, you know, he wasn't playing to his ability and stuff like that. And he really blossomed and flourished come playoffs. So I think Lafreniere should definitely get a look on power play one. If not, he should be running power play two. So I think you got to give this kid a chance. I'm going B+. I thought he had a really, really nice postseason. So what's your thoughts on Lafreniere?
And I think that's a nice thing too. I'm going to go with the B+ as well, because his expectations weren't so high because he's so young. Second season, first full season in the NHL. I was really proud of him. I thought he just stepped it up in every other aspect of the game physically. And to see
almost
that
killed Victor Hedman.
Oh my God. I don't know how that wasn't called.
That was bad. Yeah.
Oh, that was so bad.
Could he get a suspension like when the year starts? Is that possible?
No, but they totally would have reviewed that. If the Rangers had won that game, I think there would have been a potential suspension for him for game 7.
Okay.
Cause he elbowed him right in the face.
Yeah.
Whether it was purposely or not, I don't know.
Well, wasn't Brendan Lemieux when he was on a Ranger, didn't he get like suspended the last game of the season? And then he missed like the first 2 games of the season.
Oh, maybe you're right. Yeah, that sounds right. That sounds right.
So I was just thinking, I was wondering if that could happen to Lafreniere, possibly.
It could. I mean, I haven't heard anything about it, but it definitely could. But the one thing about Lafreniere that I don't know if this comparison is there yet, but I've been saying Brad Marchand. He's not the chirper that Marchand is or the shit talker.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Lafreniere was giving it to everyone. The amount of chirps he was giving Stamkos was just grade A. I loved it. I thought he was chippy as could be, physical as could be. And in that Tampa series, I think he only had maybe 1 point in Tampa or 2 points in Tampa series. But you know what?
He played great, though.
He played great. Physical. I mean, you knew his presence was there every game. And he's one of the only players on the team I could say that for. So
I fucking love him. So I don't have to.
I got his jersey.
Yeah, I don't got to pump his tires anymore. Yeah, you're sold out. I think everyone that listens to this episode or listens to the show knows how I feel about Lafreniere. So I'm giving him that B+. And I'm really excited about his game next year. I think he'll obviously turn it up a notch a little bit next year. And now that he knows.
Right.
You know, he has the landscape of the league now, I think, under his belt. So that's only going to help him so much more. And his confidence should be so high going into next season. And obviously, you know, maybe his playing time will go up next year. Who knows?
I hope it does. Remember, oh my gosh, sorry. Last thing I have to bring up. Do you remember at the beginning towards middle of the season, Lafreniere was getting like 11 minutes a night when guys like Rooney were getting like 16, 17 or Hunt was getting, that was crazy. So just imagine how many more points he could have had this season if he truly got you know, what he deserves. So I'm excited to see where he goes next year. I think a huge year from him is to be expected, and you know, he needs to take that next step. But Hedl and Kako, let's do these two together. Hedl, I'm going C plus, and I thought he had a really good postseason. I thought his regular season was not good at all.
C plus?
Yes. Yes. I said wow. C plus. So I told you you thought I was being nice, but I'm not. So Hedl, I thought in the regular season, he had a really poor regular season. I would give him around like a C minus, and I thought he had a really good postseason. So I'd give him in the B plus range. So that's why I'm settling on C plus. I thought he flourished in the postseason, and yeah, that's what I'm going with.
His regular season was booty cheeks.
That's why you just looked it up and you were
I just know for a fact.
Yeah, he had 15 points or something, like 20 points or something crazy. Yeah.
He had 22 points, and he's like the only player in the top nine that was a dash.
Yeah.
Like he was minus one on the regular season.
He played really poor in the regular season, and that's why it was so encouraging to see how well he played in the postseason, but I feel like that's what he does. He like gives you a taste of greatness, and then he like shows you.
When has he shown that before? This is the first time.
Dude, that preseason when he had a hat trick.
I don't even remember. I don't watch preseason.
You should. It's electric, man. No, I'm kidding. He had 2 years ago or a year ago, he had a hat trick in the preseason, and then like he'd have those games where he'd have like two goals and then just go like 15 straight games with no goals or whatever. But anyways, it's a new dawn for Filip Hedl, and hopefully he is good next year.
Yeah, I think C plus is unfair. I'm gonna say B.
You're allowed to disagree. You don't have to disagree with me on it. I mean, agree with me on everyone.
I'm going to say B minus or B. Obviously, like I just said, his regular season was not very good, but he was the most consistent
booty
guy.
Cheeks, quote unquote.
But he was the most consistent guy. I actually do want to shout out the Blue Shirts Breakaway guys, because I think someone tweeted at Greg a couple weeks ago, Filip Hedl's not that good. He only performs in the playoffs. And Greg was like, yeah, that's the point.
I mean, it is the point. That's all you can ask for.
That's all you can ask for.
If you want to give him a super boost, I would tip him over to B minus.
I don't think he deserves a C plus. A C is cruel.
Well, get ready for Kapo Kako. Oh, so, God. So I'm giving Kako a C minus. I just think Kako, like, I don't know, man. He just underperformed. Like, it's as simple as that. What was he in there? I know he missed like half the season, right? Yeah, didn't he only play like 47 games or something like that? Yeah. So he missed half the season, but what did he have? 14 points, 15 points, something like that. So
yeah, 7 goals, 18, 11 assists.
18 points. So that's right on par for like 35 points. I mean, it's his third year in the league. Like he needs to be better than that. You know, there was just too many games where he was not a noticeable player. But that being said, then he had other games, like against Pittsburgh, where he played incredibly heavy. Even against Carolina, he had some really heavy shifts and heavy games. So he's another tough one. That being said, I'm going with a C minus for him. How about yourself?
I was going to say like a D plus.
That's fine. I didn't know Ds could give pluses, but
I don't know. I don't know if I can. I was never the best student, but I'm going to go D plus if that's a thing. And only because, obviously, like we said, he did face a ton of injury issues this year, but there was never like pure domination, you know, like there were moments where Lafreniere just like looked dominant and like looked confident and looked great. And Kako didn't really have those moments. Like he didn't really show any sort of dominance or any sort of like personal growth. I mean, I know he played solid, and I know he's still so young, but I just want to see more from him. And I know, listen, I'm not asking him to be a Lafreniere, but
I hate to say it. And I'm sorry to interrupt, and I hate to say it, okay, but like, I know the kid is like 22 years old, but I really think, is he 22 or is he 20? What is he? 21?
I'll check right now.
Okay.
He is 21.
So he's 21, and I really hate to say this, but like, I think next year is a huge season from him, right? Like if he does this again, and let's say the Rangers sign him to a bridge deal this summer, which is like pretty set on, I feel like, unless somehow they agree on a 1 year, mm-hmm, which I doubt,
Yeah, like, two-year deal, three-year deal.
Yeah, like he might be gone after that, man. Like he's not going to get re-signed again, I don't think, if he doesn't like have a really big season. I don't know, but I think he's another guy that you look at this offseason and you're just like, you need him to break out, right? You need him to break out. And it's funny enough, the offseason before, like what before this season, everybody was saying in order for the Rangers to make the playoffs, they need Lafreniere, Kravtsov, who's not here, obviously, and then Kako to have a breakout season. And none of them had a breakout season. I mean, you could argue for Lafreniere, but I wouldn't. But like we still ended up being that good. So imagine these two kids having that breakout season and how far we can go. So I don't know. What's your thoughts on him?
Well, the thing with Kako that I think does need time is just his skating ability, because he has shown
so, you know, slow.
He's shown He's shown he can pass the puck. He can shoot. He's got some skill. He just hasn't put it all together yet. And
yeah,
I do think, like, you know, in 2-3 years, maybe four, I there's a lot of potential there. There is. It just takes some guys some more time to develop, you know.
Look at Anthony Duclair. Anthony Duclair.
Same thing. Similar thing. You know, Duclair wasn't number two overall, but like,
right,
you can't just look at number two overall and be like, oh, he should be so much better, you know?
Right. But the issue is, in situations like this, this Rangers team is not a rebuilding team. This is a team that is now contending Windows for open. The playoffs. Mm-hmm. Window is open. I think you could argue now that they're contending for the cup, right? You could say they're.
No, I think
they're,
with Igor, you're a fucking contender. So,
you know, when a team is contending for the cup like this, guys of that much value that are drafted second overall, third overall, something like that, like they're going to get moved if they're not breaking out, no matter how young they are, on like their second contract when that's up. So that's just something to keep your eye on. I mean, listen, I'm pulling for the kid. I hope he does break out and definitely proves us wrong, because I would love to see that. But anyways,
well, maybe he's trade bait for Patrick Kane. Who knows?
Oh, stop it. we'll have plenty of trade talk this offseason. Yeah. But
Cody loves his trades.
You know I do. On to the fourth line. I would argue this is the best fourth line we have had in like 15 years.
Since the Blair Betts days.
Yeah. So Mott, Gaudreau, and Reeves, I'm going to do all three of these guys together. Mott, I'm giving an A-. I thought he surpassed every expectation and every test we threw at him. Awesome addition. Would love to re-sign the guy. Gaudreau, I'm giving him a B. I think that's very fair for him. I think that's perfect for him. He did everything you asked him to do. He played from anywhere on the first line to the fourth line, was all over the ice in every position. You know, a lot of people are going to say like, oh, he didn't score a ton. Like, that's not what we meant for him to do when we traded for him. And he did have a career high in points, which is great. So hopefully maybe he adds some more like point value in the years coming. And then for Reeves, I'm going to go with a C+. Another guy, like, I think a C+ is fair for him. I think he kind of did, like, nobody was expecting Reeves to come in and like be an A or, you know, anything like that, a B+, but like he came in, he did his job. The one thing like I would have loved to see more from him is to fight. We traded for the guy to fight, and he had two fights all season. So I think maybe if he, you know, fought a little more, rung the bell, whatever, maybe I would have given him a B- or a B, but he didn't. Like, it was more so like his presence made guys scared, you know, whatever. But I would argue the Rangers had more fights than ever. So I don't even know. But what's your take?
So I'll start with Mott. I think we're pretty aligned in that category. He did exactly what was expected of him. Could he have scored more? Yeah, he had a couple chances that he didn't bury. But, you know, like you said, he's not really out there to score goals. That's just an added bonus. Although he does have a ton of skill. Barclay Goodrow, I thought he was a warrior in the playoffs. He literally had like a broken foot. He came back. He played his balls off. You know, obviously he's not much of a goal scorer as well. He could have maybe put up a couple more points, but
right. He
was great, dude. He blocked so many shots, just did the little things, and you could just sense his leadership. And then, what did I give him? I didn't give Goodrow a grade. I'll give him like a B. Goodrow a B. And
same
you,
as me,
you gave Mott like an A-.
I gave Mott an A-, Gaudreau B, and Reeves a C+.
I'll give Mott an A.
Okay.
Gaudreau a B. And I'll be nicer to Reeves, because I do think Reeves helped set the standard, and he's a big culture guy, which is really important. And
for sure.
He didn't really play his best in the playoffs, but I really wish they had him out there in the games that he was scratched. I think he just does bring a different vibe and energy to that locker room.
Couldn't get worse than Rooney. That's
literally
for sure.
Yeah. I mean, like, they're like, you know, the result is the same. So
yeah.
I'm going to give Reeves that B+. Just
wow.
You know,
Okay.
I really understand what it's like to be in a room where everyone gets along, because it's such a big thing. And a big reason why the Rangers had so much success is simply because they just had so many good people in that locker room. You hear all the players say it, like, we really love each other. Like, none of us wanted this to end. Everyone clicks, everyone gets along. And Reeves is one of those glue guys that came in and helped that. So that's why I think Reeves deserves that B+, because when you have that belief in the room that Reeves kind of brought, it makes your team so much better. And they got here, you know, due to that belief, right? Like, they were down 3-1 to Pittsburgh, looked cooked, down 2-0 in game 5. Not that Ryan Reeves sparked any comeback, but like, he definitely helped on the bench, I'm sure, getting the guys up and ready to go. I mean, his like screaming in the locker room at the starting lineup, you know, definitely boosted them, I think, whatever effect. But yeah, I'm giving Reeves a B+. I think he was just great for the culture.
All right, that's fine. Defenseman pairs, start with Fox Lindgren. I'm going A across the board for these guys. For both of them, I'm going to give an A. Foxy, good as ever. Some people will say he didn't perform to his Norris caliber. I think he did. I would argue he did. It's just guys like Cale Makar and Roman Josi had a better season. But I thought Fox played great. And same with Lindgren. I mean, Lindgren, we've said it many times, I think he's the defensive catalyst for this team. And he played great as well. Giving them A's across the board.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Love those two. I think they'll be a top, if they're not top two, top four pair for the next 5+ years for the Rangers at least.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously the Miller Trouba unit could be the number one unit. I don't really know what the vibe is on that. They've been starting most of the games lately. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, Foxy and Lindgren, what more can you ask for from two young guys in their first playoff run?
Yep. All right. Keandre and Trouba. Keandre is the only non-goalie player. I'm going to go with an A+ for Keandre. Yep. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with an A+ for Keandre. I think he
Guy who wanted to trade him back in January.
Dude, I said for Patrick Laine, and you know what? I'll apologize for the 10th time if I need to. I would lock him up right now if we could, if we had any cap space, but we don't. Mm-hmm. And I think the guy is a defensive wizard, and he is a superstar. And I think this playoffs were truly his coming out party. You saw how talented he could just be and, you know, how locked down of a player he is. I mean, countless amount of times he just locked down guys, top players, and pretty much everything you can ask for in a defenseman. So I'm going A+ for him. And I think Trouba is probably on this team. I take it back with Panarin and Strome. He's probably the hardest guy to grade.
He's the love hate also.
He's very, very much love hate. I don't like to blame one single player for this loss against Tampa. I think it was more so the team as a whole. They ran out of gas, but one could point to two games that, you know, game three, he cost us the game for sure. There's no question about it. Like single-handedly, you know, 3 penalties, 2 goals. And then on that four-minute penalty, you know, he cost us there. So definitely cost us that game. And that's a series shifter, 3-0. And then, you know, last night, I don't think we would have won anyways, but he did get burned on that Stamkos goal 19 seconds later. So you just can't get caught like that. I know you're tired. I know you played a lot, but you got it. You know, you're an $8 million player, which is a lot of money in hockey, and you need to play like an $8 million player. That being said, on the other side of the spectrum, Trouba had many, many games where he shifted the game's balance from major hits and did some sort of physicality against another player where it changed the tempo of the game for the better. So that being said, and I do think he had a really good regular season this year, much better than his last two seasons. And his offensive production appeared out of nowhere again and, you know, got back to normal because he was on the power play a little more and stuff like that. So I'm going to give him a B. What's your take on those two guys?
Yeah, I was curious what you'd say as far as the grade goes for Trouba. I think obviously everyone's on the same page with Keandre. He's been, you know, the most improved player throughout the entire year. He's been incredible. And he's obviously the guy that we're all most excited about, I think, going into next season. Uh-huh. So I don't really have to harp on that too much. I think you did a great job breaking that one down. The Trouba thing, you were also pretty spot on. But Trouba's regular season, like you said, was pretty incredible. I mean, the guy had 39 points, was plus 25. He had 11 goals, which is just
as much as Fox. I gave him an A in regular season, but I gave him a C in playoffs.
Just as much as Foxy. And they were so shut down in the regular season. And they were supposed to be shut down in the playoffs. Obviously, it didn't really go their way towards the end.
Yep.
But it frustrates me because I know that Trouba isn't the most offensively skilled player, yet he did step up in so many different moments. I mean, I think back to his huge goal in game five against the Penguins. That was a massive goal. That backhander that looked like a Norris Trophy defenseman type of play makes the move around Jeff Carter, I believe, comes into the slot and backhands a five hole. And, you know,
yeah, that's can't look at his offense. I mean, his offensive production in the playoffs was 5 points, you know,
of course, but that's just like, that's a big moment.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Was he the best player in the big moments? Not necessarily, but like he was definitely a big part of those big comebacks. As far as shutting these guys down, you know,
the issue with Trouba, man, is for the duration
love
of
hate,
his,
bro. Just
I know. And for the duration of his career as a New York Ranger, he's always going to be associated with his $8 million price tag. Yeah. Always. So yeah. That is, you know, like if he was a $4 million player, nobody would give him this kind of attention or, you know, slack. They'd be like, yeah, he's great for what he is, but he's not. And that's the issue, I think. So, yeah, I don't know. What's your grade?
Well, I think that's also, he's not running the first power play unit because of Foxy. You know, I think we've talked about that before, but I'm going to say I happen to love Jacob Trouba. So I'm going to give him the B+.
Okay.
Because, you know, obviously, listen, he was pretty horrendous with his puck decision-making. He probably had like, I don't have the stat in front of me, but I'm sure his turnovers were, if not first on the team, maybe second in the playoffs. So we can pull that up quick.
Yeah.
Trying to find turnovers here. I can't find that stat, but yeah, I'm just going to give him a B+ because he was a leader all season. He helped carry this team, you know, to this point. Obviously, he didn't have his most consistent performance throughout the playoffs, but I think in those big games that the Rangers won and needed to come back, he was a key cog in the machine. So I'm going to give him a B+.
Okay. That's fine. And then
also his penalty killing. Incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. His penalty killing's good for sure. And then Braun Nemeth and Schneider. Schneider, I'm going with a B. Mm-hmm. I think this kid came out of the blue. Nobody expected him to stay up on the team, and he never went back down once they called him up. Pretty much did everything, you know, they asked of him. He's another guy who's not going to be an offensive talent or anything like that. He's just going to be a lockdown guy. And honestly, that's all you need for the third pair, right? That's all you can ask for, and that's all you need. And I think giving him another year or two to really play in this league, he's going to get so much better, and having 20 post game seasons under his belt, just gonna get even better. Braun Nemeth, man, honestly, Nemeth's an F. I'm not gonna yeah. Nemeth's an F.
For
and
sure.
Braun, like Braun was much better. I would give him a D, like maybe an F. I don't know. I mean, I don't even want to talk about those two guys. You know, that's clearly a big need for the Rangers this offseason. They're gonna need to figure out some way to either have a third pair D or just call up Zach Jones already. So they're going to need to figure something out there. What about yourself?
I'm hoping it's Jones and Schneider as that third pair. Next season.
I mean, Gallant just proved that kids can play together and it'll be okay. So
yeah,
good line.
I think Braun is just a B, you know, I don't think
a B.
Yeah. What'd you give him?
Oh, I give him a D.
You did?
Well, yeah. I thought he was terrible.
Dude, he's like 36 years old.
I know, but that's not our problem.
No, but like, what did you expect from him?
You just know? To be a sound defenseman to like, do you know, who has 100 postseason games under his belt to actually play defense.
The one play that stands out to me was that Bogosian play, which was like, you know, once in a blue moon, but it's not like he was such a liability. I mean, his plus minus rating was zero. Like, it's not like he was a dash five or anything. Like,
I just thought he was a body, man. And anyone who's a body to me is a D or a C minus.
I just like, I didn't have high expectations for him. So I'm not like, you know,
okay. All right. Yeah, I that's mean, fine. You're entitled.
Yeah. Like Schneider, I actually expected a little bit more from, even though he's obviously a rookie, but with his regular season, I thought he'd like have a little bit more of an impact offensively.
Right. But I can't believe you gave Nemeth a C. Like, were you even watching the same games I was watching?
I didn't give Nemeth a C. I give Nemeth I'm just F minus. Give him lower than an F. Well, dude,
give him a Z.
Out of the lineup is what changed the entire postseason, I think.
Yeah.
And then who am I missing? So Schneider, Braun.
No, you said everybody. Oh, and then yeah. And then Igor.
A plus. Yeah.
Don't even need to talk about him. Just we have Igor. Yeah, and then Georgiev. I feel for the guy. I do. So I'm going to give him a C. He's very inconsistent, but not bad, not good.
He was also great in the playoff games.
I mean, listen, he came in like whatever. All right, I'm gonna give him a C plus. Like, you know, he's fine for a backup. Like, not what you want if your goalie gets hurt, really per se. But he's shown time and time again that he's better. He's like fine wine, right? He's better with age. So the more games he plays, the better he's gonna be. So I'm gonna give him a C plus. Do you agree or disagree, or we can move on to Gallant?
I mean, his regular season was pretty terrible.
Yeah.
Besides the end, but he did. I think it's just a C. I can't.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, C plus, whatever. Same shit. Gallant the ant, man. I'm gonna go with a B plus for him. I think that's pretty fair in his first season, right? He took this team who wasn't even in playoffs for the past five seasons, turns it around in his first year, takes us to the Eastern Conference Finals game 6. We were a 110 point team. I think he is not an X and O's guy. I would say, right? We would say that's fair.
Definitely
he's like
not
an X and O's guy, but he's a big players coach. I do think he has like pretty good intuition outside of game 7 yesterday. But I do think he has pretty good intuition in terms of like games, like he calls timeouts at the right time and things like that. So yeah, I mean, listen, I like him. I said that earlier, and I'm going with a B plus.
Yeah, I completely agree. You know, I think obviously a lot of the season was kind of to Igor's credit, right? Like Igor carried us a little bit, but Gallant, I mean, got the guys to play hard for him, and that's all you can really ask for as a coach, right? These guys like did play their hearts out most nights. I know they weren't the better team every night, but they gave an effort and they went down swinging too. You know, they could have easily folded and given up in that game 6 that we watched the other night. But, you know, you saw the passion come from Gallant all year long. And as a fan, I think you want your coach to have passion. Like we see so many of these coaches like just super boring and don't seem to like click with the players that much, where he's the opposite, right? Like the players seem to love him. Like that little video of him like slapping Frankie on the back of the head. I don't know if you saw that. He's like, what are you laughing at over there? You'll be a coach one day. You'll see. Like you can just sense like he fucks with the guys. The guys fuck with him. Dude. You know? So I think giving him a B plus is fair. He was a Jack Adams finalist. And, you know, I don't think he should have won it. But the fact that he was there says a lot about him. Obviously, John Cooper had some high praise for him as well.
Yeah.
Went after that.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say he should have took second, but he took third, funny enough. But it is what it is. But yeah, I think that's it in terms of grades. Some other things, our boy Kravtsov just got re-signed, which is interesting. Is there any chance he suits up? Like 1 to 100, honestly, what percentage are you giving him?
Maybe 3.
3. Boom. Yeah. Same. Yeah. That's beautiful. Same thing. I don't see it. I think it's going to be like, I guess a sign and trade or.
I don't know.
Something like that.
I think we'll get some good value for him.
Yeah, that's true. Well, he did play good in the playoffs or whatever. Yeah. I mean, listen, he's got to get moved at the draft, I think. Like, I think that's their last chance to move him. I mean, I don't know when else they're going to move him, right? Because the draft is after free agency, so it's either...
No, it's before.
Oh, is it before?
The draft, I think, is like end of June, and then free agency is usually July 1, unless it's different this year.
Cause the draft's in like 2 weeks?
Usually. Is it different this year?
I thought it was maybe. I don't know. Maybe not. Our season's been messed up for like 3 years now. So who knows? All right. Well, anyway, so he's probably not suiting up. So sorry if you were hoping for that. But what's one thing you want the Rangers to try and improve on this summer? Like just one thing that you saw in these playoffs where you're like, that's a very big point and part as to why we ended up getting beat, you know, and how can they improve?
I mean, I think the obvious answer would be that second line center, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's the obvious answer.
Yeah. I wasn't even thinking a position player. I was thinking like an actual thing. And like to me, it's clearing the puck from the defensive zone. I think we play, you know, when a team gets in our zone, they kind of hang around there for like 3-4 minutes until we can like get our wins. And I guess that can lead to agility as well, right?
Yeah.
Conditioning a little better.
Mm-hmm. Our transition game is not very strong.
That's right. Exactly. So that's like what I was leaning into, but you did mention 2C. So like based on that, I was going to say, what do you think the Rangers' biggest needs this summer are? I mean, I think to me, the only two things they need is if they re-sign some guys is like 2C and a third pair of D-man, right?
And maybe a better backup goalie.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I think they're going to like just go Vetman for backup goalie and hope for the best. I don't know. But again, Igor does get hurt from time to time. So that could be a worthy investment. All right. And that being said, so right now we have $12.5 million, just about something like that, to fill out the rest of our roster for this summer. If we do buy out Nemeth, which I think we all hope that we do buy out Nemeth, we should be around 14.2. So we have some RFAs, we have some UFAs. So I'm going to run through the list. Just tell me if you want them to stay or go. Gauthier.
Care less. Gone.
Okay. He's gone. Yeah. Kako. He's staying, obviously.
I want Kako to stay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Sammy Blais, RFA. Is there a spot for him? I mean, it's tough, right?
It's tough. He could be a solid like fourth line. It's tough.
He's not going to play on the fourth line. Yeah, our fourth line's locked up. If we get, I don't know.
I could see him being in over Kako.
You could see him what?
Being in over Kako.
Really? So them letting Kako walk?
Yeah.
I guess it's possible. Yeah, I guess it's possible. Georgiev, he's a goner for sure. Dude, you look like you look like Doug from remember that show Doug with Quail Man?
No clue.
Yeah, you were probably fucking sick. All right, anyways, Kopp.
I think he's gone.
Yeah, me too. I think he played himself out of it. Same with Strome, who's next on my list. I think he's gone too. You think Strome's back or gone?
I don't know, because Panarin definitely loves him, but
I hate to say, because you know Panarin's one of my guys, but like, yeah. I think he lost some leverage in terms of like who he loves and who he doesn't, like from this postseason. I don't think they're gonna frankly give a shit.
Yeah, I think Strome's gone. I think he's gone.
Mott, to me, stays. Must resign at all costs. I think he's the guy out of the four. Vetrano, another guy I would love for him to stay. What's your thoughts?
You know me, dude. I love Frankie V. I'm the Frankie V fan club. I want him to stay. My main priority is him and Mott.
I feel like that's every got to be everybody's at this point. McKeag.
Some people are cop over Petrano, I feel like.
No way for me. McKeag, he's gone. Rooney, I feel like his time's up. He's a goner, probably.
He's a great penalty killer, but
I mean, and then Braun's gone, obviously, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So Braun's gone. So there you have it. I guess the only other thing I wanted to say was like, actually two things. First, what do the Rangers need to do in order to get back to the conference finals next season? If you had to say like two things, like what would they be to get us back there and maybe even to the cup?
Not have to fucking play from behind. You got to be able to close teams down or shut them down when you have a lead. I mean, that's the difference in this series. That 2-0 lead in game three, you couldn't shut
them down. Couldn't
shut them down, and that's where you lost the series. Everything shifted. Yeah. So just learning how to close out games.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think that's probably number one, which is just playing a full 60 minutes. We've said it countless and countless amounts of times. And for me, number two is, honestly, Lafreniere taking a huge growth step. Like, I think that is going to be such a huge part of this team's chance, because imagine with Panarin, Kreider, Mika, let's just say like Vetrano, whatever, and your 2C, like imagine we had another guy on the third line, or like Lafreniere, if he played on the second line, another guy that's like a Kreider who can just score, and then another guy who's like Panarin in terms of assists. Like, that's what we need Lafreniere to be. We're not asking him to be the next Panarin, because he's probably not going to be. But that being said, I do think he can be a really, really good player, and I would love to see him take that next step.
But he's still so young. You got to remember.
Yeah, he's 20 years old. I know. I agree, but I feel like, I don't know. I said this to you, I think it was during like the Evolving Wild podcast. Like, I feel like players don't break out until like, you know, 24, 25, whatever. But I feel like by their third full NHL season, like, you know what you have with them, you know? Like, you know what you have with him, right? So like, this is his third season, and you're going to know based on how he's playing, if he's making those flashy plays, if he's making those crazy assists, if he's scoring more, you know, playing physical like he did in the playoffs, like, you're going to know if this kid is actually a superstar or not. Mm-hmm. So I would love to see that from him. Is there anything else you had on that?
No, Cody, honestly, I thought you hit the points right on the head, or hit the nail on the head, whatever the saying is, but
buried the coffin.
Yeah, I just want to thank everyone that's listened to our show throughout the season. We're going to continue to have episodes once a week, probably every Monday through the off season, but I think we might take 2 weeks off after the Stanley Cup final. We haven't really decided that yet. You know, just those like in between weeks where there's not much going on, just right. So we can kind of like regroup and you know, gather our thoughts and come back ready. But, you know, this season has been an absolute blast. I wouldn't change a thing. Cody and I got to meet so many of our listeners, fans, everyone. And just these last 6 weeks of the playoff run have been so much fucking fun. Like,
so fun.
Cannot explain it. Like the beers at Mustang Harry's, the post games, the viewing parties, everything. Would not change a thing. So, you know, hopefully, like we said, the window just began and, you know, this team can be relevant for the next 5 to 7 years and we can just do more of this because it really has been such a blast. So just want to thank all of you for supporting us. It really has been so much fun and we're going to continue to talk to you all summer. So definitely keep tuning in every week, send in your questions, whatever you want. If it's trade stuff or contracts, please send them to Cody and not me because I don't have the answer. But we love you guys.
Johnny's not an X and O's guy. He's like,
no, definitely not. But we love you guys so much. And I can't express it how much it means to us. Just the support, the tweets, the Instagram DMs, everything. It's so much fun. So just thank you from me.
Yeah, it's been an amazing ride. Definitely thank you all. You know, like Johnny pretty much covered all the base of the points, but it's been amazing. I did just want to add, yeah, we are going to pop episodes off every Monday.
With great guests.
So that's what I was going to say. We have some really good guests lined up, some former players and things like that. So we got some really good stuff lined up. So we're definitely excited to share with you guys. And yeah, keep tuning in and always and forever, LFGR, baby.
No quit in the Blue Yorker.
Ever.
We love you guys.
Peace.